Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and I've got a guest. He's my co-pilot, and actually, there are times he's going to be the pilot, and that's when I need to go to the bathroom. And David Martin is sitting next to me.
Are you
got this. You got this. I'm just teasing you.
You leaving right now?
No. I did that one time, and the guy looks at me and he goes, no. And I said, I'm just teasing you.
I'm not responsible for anything that I say or do, just so you know that.
Oh, well, that's why he has us on a delay. He says, Salem is not normally delay, is normally today. Anyway, Dave Martin has a shop at 16th Street in Osborne that's been around in the family since.
1971 is when we started, and we started at a Chevron service station on 20th Street in Osborne. So.
Okay, and then your end result is the 16th Street north of Osborne on the west side of the road,
yep,
of where you appear every day.
Every day.
And your father still comes and walks around and checks the parking lot for cigarette butts, like,
yep,
up. That's just the way that we are. That's the way us old guys are.
Yeah, and then he comes in and he takes my customers home and complains about the government. You know, he's typical,
old guy.
Old guy, that's
gray-haired.
Where he is. He's gray-haired, and he's just comes in every day, though, and works about 5 hours. And he's I do it more for my mom, I think, mm-hmm, get him out of the house. So.
I was driving the shuttle bus for a couple of days a long time ago, and Renee said, stay out of politics.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I got no problem. She says, why? And I says, I'm just going to go with the flow. If they're Trump lovers, I'll be a Trump lover. If they hate Trump, I'll be a Trump hater. I don't care. I'm not going to cause dissension within the car.
I think my dad hates them all.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters.
Oh, gosh. Is he listening today?
Probably is.
Okay. All righty. Well, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by S&S Tire and Auto Service. They opened up in the West Side in 1976. They have three locations, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. Let me tell you that I have referred to S&S on the West Side a lot, and I've never been embarrassed. So they have a comprehensive line of tires in many different brands, so you can get a good, better, best price. So they have tires in the good, they have tires in the better, then they have the tires in the best. So you can get a price on all three and decide for yourself. They also balance your tires, they do alignment, suspension work, oil changes, and all that kind of stuff. So if you're looking for new tires on anything you own, from a wheelbarrow to a tractor and everything in between, S&S Tire, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. The phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And for those of you, I forget to do this sometimes, those of you outside the Phoenix metropolitan area listening to us on iHeart or something like that, we have a number for you, 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. And you're welcome to call in that. Gil is our engineer. He's running the show. And I want to remind everybody listening to the show that if there's a hiccup in the show, it's Gil's fault.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're just sitting here, and we're in the passenger we're in the first class compartment of the airplane, and Gil's flying the airplane, and so if we crash, it's going to be Gil's fault. He likes it when I say that.
Yeah, I bet
he
does.
I'll put down my cell phone now.
Yeah, put down your cell phone now. It's a good idea. Oh, gosh, we've had so much fun.
Yeah.
He said, you said what? Not too long ago. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. Here's how we start. What you do is you start off with the car. Tell us what the year, make, and model, and miles. Then you tell us the symptoms. So we're going to ask you, that's the give and take part of this, is does it vibrate all the time? Yes, it does. Does it vibrate in the steering wheel or in the seat of your pants? Oh, all over. Okay. When doesn't it vibrate? It always vibrates. This is the kind of conversation we're going to have. So David and I are going to work with you, and we're going to determine what it is that you have, and then we're going to make educated guesses. And I would say that we're going to be doggone close, grenade close, just about 85% of the time, but we're only as good as the symptoms you give us. Now, there's three answers to our questions. Yes, no, or I don't know. And that's what you can do. Yes, no, and I don't know. Those are the three different answers. 602-508-0960. And we got a caller. And I got to tell you something funny. We used to have a doorbell.
Uh-huh.
And so when he told me that there was a caller on the line, he'd give me a doorbell. People started complaining that when the doorbell went off, their dogs went crazy. So we went to an air gun. All righty, who we got on the phone, Gil?
We have Glenn as your first caller.
Glenn, good morning to you. What can we do for you?
Good morning, Mark. Thank you.
You bet.
I have to start off with I made a friend through your old rummage program you had on.
Oh, okay.
He had a router for sale, and I went over and picked it up at a good price, and it had a table with it.
Oh, wow.
And I made a friend for life.
You know, that's what makes it worthwhile. Every once in a while, we'll get somebody who found a shop and that they've been doing business. We tell them, don't call us on the first year, because that's where the bumpy part is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But after you've done business with them for a couple years, then that's it. Well, thank you for that. That's very nice.
So me and this friend were having a discussion the other day, and Mobile One came up, and he brought up the fact that there's graphite in Mobile One, and I never heard of that, and I thought, well, Mark's an oil expert. Well, what does he have to say?
It doesn't have any graphite in it.
Yeah.
Oh. Graphite goes back to the 70s and the 80s. What was that oil? Do you remember what that oil was that had a bunch of graphite in it?
I don't remember.
And it was the same as TMI. Remember that? That was an additive that you put in your car, and what it did is it polished everything and made the engine run like it's never run before, and all that other kind of stuff. I can tell you can take it to the bank. Mobile One doesn't have any graphite in it. Mobile One is a full blown synthetic. It certainly is a quality oil. It says right on the can, good up to 20,000 miles, but there's this little asterisk on the bottom that says, you can go 12 or 15 a year. And so even though it says 20, you can go annually 20, but they're not going to stand with you if you try to go 20 in a year and a half. So that's it. Number two, Mobile has a variety of weights. So they got from 0-10 to 0-20 and all the water kind of oils for the newer model cars. Which a lot of the gray-haired guys, we don't even talk to them about that.
Yeah.
We don't even tell them what we're putting in their car because they want 30, 40, and 20, 50 in their cars.
20, 50.
20, 50, boy. And let me ask you a question, Dave. When was the last time you sold a quart of 20, 50?
My dad. He has an old 77 Ford truck, and he puts 20, 50 in it. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Back then, it was thicker was better.
Yes.
Now, thinner is better.
Well, and it's a fuel economy thing.
Yeah.
And we're also seeing no sludge, and we're also seeing cars that just we take them apart in 100,000, 200,000 miles, and you could eat off the inside.
Yeah.
So that has a lot to do with it. But Mobile One is a good oil. Let me tell you about the oxidation, which is when does the oil turn to a tar? Okay, this tells you everything you want to know. Conventional is about 300, 325. Semi-synthetic is 400, 425. And Mobile One is 500. Now, Dave, let me ask you a question. What condition is your engine at 500 degrees?
It's smoked. It's hot.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It'll lock up at 250 to 300.
Right.
I mean, it's going to throw in the towel when the temperature of the engine gets 250. Because your gauge is going to be on the 210 to 230 on the right side,
right,
in the red zone. We're going to be 230, 240. So at 300, north of 300, your engine's toast, and you can put all the Mobile One you want, but it's not going to survive. Then we have the pour point, which is the low side. So a conventional oil is going to pour out of the can like syrup, maple syrup, at about 30 degrees below zero. Semi-synthetic, depending on the blend, and it's called a blend oil, then that's going to be 40, 45. But Mobile One and the rest of the synthetics will pour out of the can at 60 below zero. I suggest that Phoenix, that's not a really important piece of information.
Yeah, really.
Because you're not likely to go anyplace like that. So politely, what you can do is go on the website and ask them about composition. Now, there's going to be a tech line, and you can leave a message for the tech people and just say, I was told the other day that Mobile One had graphite. Would you please comment on that? That would help you confront your friend if that's what you want to do. Or it can be our secret. So, you know, that's...
Well, I think you confronted him for me. I think he's listening.
He's listening?
I told him I was going to ask you, so... You may have destroyed our new friendship.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks.
thank you, Mark.
Oh, you betcha. Mobile One and graphite. I don't know if you remember, but Mobile One came out in the early 70s, mid 70s, and I can remember where nobody wanted to touch it because it had this year long, and it initially it came out with a 25,000 mile interval. And there was no way, and I owned a mobile station at the time, there was no way we were going to tell everybody to drive 25,000 miles because back in the 70s, your car was a quart of oil low at 500 to 1,000 and sometimes at 3,000 on a good car. So they always came in low on oil on the 3,000-mile turnaround, so we weren't going to let our customers go out there and go 25,000 miles. But I can tell you that Mobil bought a lot of motors back then too.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't work out as well as they thought.
Right, and if you run it for 25,000 miles, nobody's looking over your car either.
Right.
You know, and then you run the risk of having a breakdown or having another problem. But even in some of these newer cars that we've seen, 2000 and above, we've seen some cars come in there at quart low on oil, 3,000 miles or 5,000 miles.
So, You're right. It's the thought process is that I don't have to do anything to my car because it's new, and dash lights will tell me all I need to know.
Yeah.
But on an oil change, I'm your customer. I'm a new customer. Give me the spiel of what you do on an oil change.
What we do in an oil change is we do a 50-point inspection.
Okay.
With the vehicle, we change the oil, change the filter. Lube, if there's any grease fittings, we grease them.
And many new cars have none.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. We had a car in there the other day, and one of the guys we had hired, younger guy, and we're training him to work his way up. He kind of missed it at first, and we had to show him, hey, these are grease fittings. You've got to grease these things, but it doesn't happen very often anymore in the newer cars. So it was something that it was a learning experience for him. It was great. We lube all the fittings that we can lube and just look the whole car over. And we always test drive it, make sure there's no lights under the dash. Tire monitoring lights, we check that, make sure that. And we'll pull codes, too. Pull codes, see if there is any codes. Even if the light isn't on, we'll see if there's anything in there that hasn't kicked the light on yet.
Right, or any historical stuff that's come on and on and on and off.
Yep.
Off on, off on. In the old days, it was lube oil filter. Lube was the labor for the oil change. It didn't necessarily have to do with squirting grease in your car. Oh, folks, when we talk about grease in your car, what we're talking about is that the boot around all the joints is now sealed. So it's factory filled with grease, and we don't have to grease anything at all. So lube oil filter, check the belts, the tires, the fluids, belts, tire, no, fluids, belts, hoses, tires. And we're looking for anything that might not be there or might show its ugly head in the next 3,000 miles. That's what we did when I started.
Yeah.
And the fluids and the belts and the hoses and the tires was the big deal. We didn't have codes back then in the 60s and the 70s. We didn't have a lot of this stuff. So we were just looking at what do you got to do. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you want to ask a car question or if you have a comment, you're more than welcome to make it. 602-508-0960. We'll be back. Minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Dave Martin from Martin's Auto Repair, 16th Street north of Osborne, and I want to pay you a compliment as well. I've sent a lot of people from that Central Avenue corridor, from 16th Street to 16th Avenue and north and south, and you've never embarrassed me. Never. And I want to tell you thanks.
You're welcome. That
means a lot. There are times I'll refer, and it'll turn into a giant, oh boy. Anyway, not only you, but Strictly Diesel and Repair, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Strictly Diesel and Repair is a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated shop. They are diehard diesel service and repair. They work on foreign and domestic light diesel trucks, I-17 and Bell. And they also have a website 24 hours a day where you can look at them fancy-dancy parts for your diesel trucks, the air filters, and the thing that gives you more horsepower, and the exhaust systems and all that kind of stuff. They have quite a website. So if you have a diesel and nobody else can fix it, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak is where you'd go. And we always do ladies first. So, Shannon, you're up. How can I help you?
Hi. I've had an issue. I have a 2004 Chevy Colorado.
Okay.
I bought it in 2007.
Okay.
And pretty much from the beginning, I've had issues where it didn't want to start. And it took me a few years to realize that there's an anti-lock device on it.
Yes.
And that stopped my truck from starting, but nobody's been able to duplicate it. And it has happened to me many times during a week. You know, like I'm getting ready to go to work or I'm coming home from work and it just won't start.
Okay, well, let me ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
When you say it won't start, does it not go rrr, 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 or does it go rrr, 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 but it doesn't catch?
It acts like it's going to start, and then it stops.
What do you think?
It does kind of do that rrr, rrr.
Okay.
Sometimes it'll even act like I'm keeping the key turned, like you're overturning the key.
Okay.
But I'm not.
But the sound, it doesn't go rrr, rrr, rrr.
No.
It goes right? That's how the starter sounds, okay?
Yeah, it's sounding like it wants to start.
Okay, well, the question is, and I don't know the answer to this, but I could look it up, is when the anti-theft is working, then the question really begs to be answered, is it killing the spark or the fuel or what? Does it kill the starter?
Right.
So we need to do that first, is the anti-theft could very well prevent it from starting and running, the starter running. So now how long do you have to crank it over before it'll start?
I usually have to wait between 10 and 20 minutes, like it resets. Because the little red light that's in the truck that flashes on and off, letting you know that it's active, it isn't flashing, and so I have to wait until it starts to flash, and then I can start my truck.
Okay,
is there any pattern to this doing this? Does it do it in the morning, or does it do it? It doesn't matter what time of the day it does it.
I used to think it was because when it heated up in the summertime, because it seemed to start happening more often, but then I've noticed just the other day when it was, in the 80s, I went to start it and it wouldn't start, and so I had to wait, I think, 15 minutes, and then it finally started.
Okay, well, I want to give you two pieces of advice. First of all, I want you to knock the anti-theft out of your head. Okay?
Okay, because that's I'm just questioning, because that's what shows up.
I understand. But the real issue is do you want a shop to go through and check every circuit on your anti-theft, and at the end of $150 they say they can't find anything wrong?
Well, I took it to a shop and there was no
okay. Well, we don't fix things with codes. So I don't know who you took it to, but we don't fix things with codes. What needs to happen is somebody needs to teach you how to check for spark and fuel. That's what we need to do. So we need to, now, if you want, what kind of rental do you charge for a fuel pressure gauge for a couple of days? Do you have anything? No, hold on. I'm talking to Dave.
I don't have any rental for anything like that. But we have done that to where we put it on a customer's car just to see if it lost fuel pressure.
Well, and I was trying to be nice to you because and now I'm not going to do it for a first time customer.
Right.
But I'm going to do it for somebody who's been around since 1991.
Absolutely.
So there are times that we'll hook up a fuel pressure gauge and we're going to tell you what we want to see, and then we're going to tape it to the outside of your windshield by your wiper blade. And so we're going to say to you, okay, when this happens, tell us what's going on with the fuel. Then the next thing we're going to do is teach you how to check for spark. Because if it cranks over, we're losing spark or fuel.
Absolutely.
And so we don't want to look at the anti-theft. What we want to look at is what are we missing, spark or fuel? Then if we can figure out and go through the spark system if we're missing spark, or go through the fuel system if we're missing fuel. But your 2004, I'll bet you dollars to donuts it's a fuel supply problem. I'll bet you it's losing pressure. I'll bet the fuel pressure regulator's bad, or it's got a leaking injector, or the check valve in the tank is bad. And so here's what I want you to try to do. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
I want you to hit the key and it won't start. Then I want you to turn the key off and turn it on, count to five. Not to crank. Just on.
Right.
Turn it off, turn it back on, count to five. I want you to do that three times.
Three times?
Yep. And then I want you to see if it starts. And if it starts, you just saved yourself $75 worth of diagnostics. And if you go in and tell your shop that that's what you did, if they're smart, they'll know that you have a fuel supply problem and we need to look for the pressure regulator, the injector leaking, and the check valve in the tank. So you're losing pressure. We want 40 or 50 pounds of pressure, so it should be there all the time. And so when you start it up, boom, it's there. But by cycling the key on and off, we're going to turn the pump on three times. Okay. So if all of a sudden the gauge goes from 0 to 50 and it starts, then you've saved yourself a lot of diagnostic money. There's still some more diagnostic money that needs to be done, but you've identified it as being a fuel system problem. So that's what I would do if I were you. All righty. And do you have a shop that you trust?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay. All righty. Well, just say to them, I don't want to pay for guessing. If we're going to guess, we're going to guess with your money, Mr. Mm-hmm. Shop Owner. So if you're going to put a $600 fuel pump in my tank, unless that fixes it, then we're going to take that back out. That's okay for you to say that in a nice way, okay?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You betcha. Doug, we're going to take your question, but we're going to answer it on the other side. Mark, you stay there too. But, Doug, go right ahead.
Oh, thanks. 99 Ford Expedition 5.4 engine, 168,000 miles. Recently went to Colorado on a little vacation and camping at about 10,000 foot. Third day in, check engine light came on. Ran fine, no big deal, came back. After about a week, I didn't have a chance to get it in to get it checked. Check engine light went off. On the way up and back, the fuel that octane levels are different in the different states that I was going through, and I was wondering if that could have been the cause of the check engine light coming on at that high elevation.
Okay, we're going to answer your question on the other side of the break, but I'm going to just break it to you real quick. It makes no difference. You're chasing your tail. Okay, something was wrong, and now it's not wrong.
Damn it.
And you're going to spend a whole lot of money trying to figure out the. And here's the question. The question is what caused my check engine light to come on at 10,000 feet, 9,000 feet? Nobody cares. If the light goes off and it's off for the next 30 days, I'm giving you the very best advice I can give you. Do nothing. And so if you want to spend a bunch of money, then a shop's going to start running fuel pressure tests and all this other kind of stuff, and I'll bet you that there's 1 in 10 chance that they can actually answer your question. Because they're not going to know. They're only going to be able to guess. So if you have a follow-up question, stay right there. Mark, you stay right there. 602-508-0960.
All about that demon, automobile, the metal monster with the polyglass wheel.
34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Mark Salem and Dave Martin. Dave Martin owns a repair shop, Martin's Auto Repair, 16th Street, just north of Osman. Been around since Jesus was a baby, and your dad's still there?
Yep, still there.
Two generations of family there, so it's not likely he's going to go out of business day after tomorrow, so you'll always have a warranty. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. He's a good shop. Tom is somebody I've known since probably the late 70s, early 80s. So if you want quality workmanship, good customer service, excellent customer service, a fast turnaround time, if you want ASC Master certified technicians to be working on your car, and you live near I-17 in Deer Valley, Action Auto Repair. I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner of the interchange of I-17 in Deer Valley. Doug, you had a follow-up question.
Yes. Since the check engine light went off about a week after that, I noticed it seemed to be starting to idle a little bit rougher, like maybe an O2 sensor or something like that was starting to go. However, the check engine light has not come back on. So okay. Is that something, if I were to take it in, that they could possibly check without a check engine light showing anything?
Your 1999 is probably not going to have any history in it. You're completely wrong when you say the O2 sensor is going to make it run rough idle. That can't happen, doesn't happen. The O2 sensor causes it to run rich or causes it to run lean. It'll turn on the check engine light because it has an O2 sensor code. But 75% of the O2 sensor codes end up being a fuel pressure regulator, end up being a plugged fuel filter, a vacuum leak, and a bunch of other stuff. You can spend as much money as you want, and I'll raise my hand right now. For $200, I'll let you drive the bus and tell me where to go. You tell me to check the O2 sensors, I will. You tell me to check the octane rating, I'll pull it out, I'll send it to the lab, we'll do that, and then we'll do an octane rating here. I'll do all that for you. I'm just telling you that the next 30 days are important. If that check engine light doesn't come on, then that problem doesn't exist. So if you want to deal with the rough idle, that's fine, but I wouldn't be using the check engine light to diagnose the rough idle. So these are kind of YouTube kind of things. So people get on the internet. It's very much like Shannon before you. She talked about the alarm system.
Right.
Dave and I didn't even jump to that. And, you know, I've been a master technician and been working on cars for 39 years. So we would have never gone to the alarm system. No. We would have coached her through a couple of things and had her help us. But anyway, good luck to you, Doug. I think I've given you the best advice I can. We're going to go to Mark. Mark, you're up next. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Just like your show.
Thank you.
I have a 2012 GMC Acadia, 110,000 miles.
Okay.
With an intermittent air conditioner blowing problem out of the front only. The rear fan works and it's cold. The seat back blow cold air on the passenger and the driver. And
wait a minute, what blows cold? The feet? What it
blows cold out of the roof vents, and it blows cold out of the seats. The seats, the front seats, are air conditioned.
I understand that. I understand that. Okay. So what? Let's get to the point. The point is that the front air no longer has any volume, but the back air does. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the front is intermediate.
Okay.
This morning.
Wait a minute. This is where we get to the take. You telling us is not what's getting us there. I want to know, does the blower quit working or not? Or you only have two choices. A, the blower quits working, or B, the blower's still there, but it's no longer cold air. Pick one.
The blower does not work.
Okay, so it's going to be the blower motor resistor, or the fan switch. And if the blower motor draws too much amps, it'll wipe out the switch. Now, here's something you can do. I want you to try fan speeds 1, 2, and 3 and stay away from 4 and see if that changes. Because 1, 2, and 3 are on the resistor circuit, and fan speed 4 doesn't have a resistor in it. So I need to eliminate that resistor. So if you go, I want you to put it on 4 and leave it on 4. And if it starts cycling on and off, then go to 3 or 2 or 1. Does it cycle off there? No. Now, another thing he could have is what fan speed do you normally run it on?
Varies on the temperature.
Come on, get closer than that for me.
Yeah, I use all of them.
Okay. All right, well, I won't discuss the rest of it because it uses all of them. So it can't be a low-pressure switch or a high-pressure switch because it uses all of them. So that's kind of where we're at. We have to diagnose that you are losing a blower. And so if it's a blower, then that's pretty simple.
Yeah,
this is a $50-$75 diagnostic as you go from the blower to the battery, or you go from the battery to the blower. That's the circuit that has to be checked out. And so if the blower motor has drawn more than 22 amps, then it most likely wiped out the switch. But if that's the case, he should be able to wiggle the switch to get the blower motor to work. That's why I ask him to use 1, 2, 3 and then 4 separately. But anyway, thanks, Mark. And we're going to go to Nick. Nick, good morning. How can we help you?
Nick, Mark, I'm sorry. The first caller where she has the 2004 Chevy Colorado.
Yes.
I have an 06 Colorado. Actually, I have two of them. The first one has got 634,000 miles on it. I've never had that problem, she said. The red one I bought used, that now has 330,000 miles, and I have that problem she has with that one. And it does, when you put the key in, if that security lock thing is solid as soon as you put the key in, it's not going to start.
Wait a minute.
Do whatever you want to.
Wait a minute. Start isn't a good word. It has to crank and catch. So when you say it doesn't start, people walk in and throw their keys across the counter and say it doesn't start and walk out. Well, that's great. Does doesn't start mean the starter's not working, or the starter's working and it doesn't catch? That's the distinction.
It'll crank, but it won't catch.
Okay.
Like it cuts off the fuel supply for 10 minutes to 10 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay.
If you wait 10 minutes and 45 seconds and go out and start it, it'll crank and start just like normal.
Okay. Well, that's an easy one, because all we do is to verify that Nick has diagnosed it, right? We'd put a fuel pressure gauge on it.
Yeah.
And we'd probably leave a door open and we'd activate the anti-theft. And then we'd look at the fuel pressure, and if the fuel pressure was zero, then we'd know that they're tied together, anti-theft and fuel pressure. Then we wait 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and we turn the key on, and all of a sudden, boom, fuel pressure drops or jumps up to 40, 50 pounds, and we're done. So if that's what you say, then the diagnostic, again, is probably $35 to $70, somewhere around there,
yeah,
to run a couple of fuel pressure tests over a period of 15 minutes. So that's what I would do. Here's the question. How often are you dealing in anti-theft issues?
Very rarely.
How many a year?
Maybe 4 or 5.
Okay, and I'm saying 1 or 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So, and we do, I don't know, we're doing 20 cars a day, 100 cars a week, and we're running to maybe two or three on of the anti-theft.
Yeah.
And usually when the anti-theft goes bad, it just shuts the whole thing down no matter what.
Right.
And so it just eliminates that. But anyway, thank you for calling in, and it's nice to know that at least two people have the same problem, but I just don't think that that's a real tough one. We're going to take a break. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. We'll be back. 46 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. Let me remind you, this is a give-and-take situation. You give us the symptoms. We ask you questions about the symptoms. That's how our car repair is supposed to be done. I don't make up the rules, but I'll tell you what. I am a court-certified expert in industry standards. I testify in court about what auto repair shops should do and not do. And I'm telling you that communication at that front counter with women, oh, my God, they'll tell you anything you want to know, and they'll answer all your questions. The gray-haired guys or the hairy-chested guys, they want to spend the next 20 minutes telling us about all the things that they've done that didn't fix the car. And so now you've just sucked 20 minutes of my life out, and all we do know is that it wasn't all the 27 parts you put in it. That's all it is. So it's a difficult thing, but that's why we tell everybody on the show it's a give and take. Let's talk about that. So, let me tell you about Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Been around since 1982. I'm very proud of them because they're on their second generation, just like Dave Martin is right next to me at 16th Street north of Osborne, and as well as my family. We're in the second generation as well. So Automotive Dynamics, they have staff and mechanics that are not paid a commission or a percentage of your repair bill. Therefore, they can guarantee their customers that the technicians and the service writers are not going to sell unnecessary parts or repairs. It's a new technology. Everybody's kind of trying it to see how it works. So we're all sitting around waiting to see how it works, to see if it actually reduces sales or raises sales or whatever. It's an interesting concept. Nevertheless, if you're in Sun City and you want the Mark Salem recommended, then they're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Now, Ryan, good morning to you, and you better not have an 04 Colorado.
Good morning. No, sir.
All righty. Go ahead.
What I do have, it's a 96 Dodge with the Cummins.
Okay.
And it's got the five-speed manual.
Okay.
And I lost fifth gear going down the road, so I'm looking to fix that.
And Dave, have you ever run across that?
No, we don't do a lot with
the transmissions.
Yeah, especially the Cummins stuff.
I can tell you what I think. It's one of two. Your shifter, how many miles are on this truck?
It's about 2.25.
Okay. The shifter itself is responsible as you pull it into fifth gear. It's going to slide a fork, and the fork is attached to a gear, and the gear has to interface another gear. So it's not uncommon that we're going to bend the fork, break the fork, or the shifter is going to wear out. So the real question is the shifter putting it in fifth gear or not? If it's putting it into fifth gear and we've lost fifth gear, then obviously we have to take the transmission apart and find out what broke.
Internal problem.
Internal problem.
Okay.
On the other hand, if it's not going into fifth gear, and us gray-haired guys can figure that out, then we're just going to pull the shifter out of the top of it. We're going to pull the floorboard apart and pull the shifter out of the top of it, and we run into that often, maybe once or twice a year. And most of the time at the end of the shifter, there's a plastic piece that takes up some slack. Well, the plastic piece is gone after 300,000 miles in a seat. That's 12 times around the girth of the earth. That's, you've driven that truck 12 times around the equator. So I would suggest that shifter, if it has that plastic nose piece, then that's gone, and that prevents that shifter from putting it into fifth gear. So what part of town do you live in?
I'm on the east side of Roosevelt Lake on a ranch. So,
You know, I got a cowboy sitting here, and he doesn't have a mic because we're not going to trust him. He is a real working cowboy, probably like you are. And I went with him not too long ago, and we had one heifer who was just bat crap crazy, and then we had another heifer and two babies, and they went up this canyon, and he sent his dogs up the canyon, and those heifers came back down.
Yeah.
So, I don't know anybody
like
they're like dealing with teenagers in my experience. So,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes you got to get them in a little trouble to
get
them what you want to do.
Yeah, and then my horse went lame. And so he was so nice, we had to go check this gate. And so we rode to the gate, but I wasn't going to ride my horse back because he was lame. And Brent walked right alongside of me with his horse, and we walked all the way back to the trailer. So I thought that was kind of nice of him, but I should have known better than to take a horse with soft feet. And that was my fault. Yeah. Now you said something, he's a horse trainer, and during the break, this is the conversation we had. He says, people hire him to train their horse, but they tell him how to train their horse. And he wonders why, if you know how to train your horse, then why don't you do it yourself?
Yeah. What'd you bring it to me for?
Well, I want to tell you, I think I'm a better cowboy than he is. He thinks he's better than me. But I've been known to lie before. So anyway, I want to tell you, my favorite people in the whole wide world are cowboys. Working cowboys that sit on a horse every day, that work cattle, that birth babies and do all that kind of stuff. And if I had my life to live all over again, that's exactly what I'd be. But Brent lets me be a weekend cowboy, and I'm appreciative of that. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I don't do this very often, but if we're in Tempe, if you can arrange to drop that truck off here and let me have it for a couple of days, I'll call you with an estimate before I fix it. But I do know a transmission guy that would be able to fix that and identify it real quick. So
okay.
If you do that, then I'll call you with an estimate.
And then if you got a minute, could I ask you another question?
Sure.
About it?
Go right ahead.
I still have first through fourth. And I did, this is why I called you, because I got a little bit, just kind of wondering if I should do it or not. I called a shop in Mesa, and they said, oh, yeah, it's that fifth gear is on, I think he said, an output shaft outside of the transmission. And he was a diesel guy, or said he was, and said there's a nut that rattles off, and it slides off the shaft, and it'll make it where you'll have first through fourth, but no fifth, was his idea over the phone.
Okay.
And he said, go ahead and just drive it down here. And I was wondering, you know, if I'm taking it, you know, clear to the Phoenix area, is driving it a good idea? Or
as long as there's no
noise.
You know,
he said you'll have... Yeah.
Nope. No noise. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm not quite sure I understand about the nut and the output shaft, because all five gears go through the drive shaft. And so I don't care if it's a two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. I'll tell you what. Do you have email?
I do.
Okay. I want you to send me an email, mark@marksalem.com. Mark@marksalem.com. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call two of the best transmission guys in the whole wide world in Phoenix. One of them's name's Alger, and one of them's name's Lorenzo. And I'm going to run this by them. And I will tell you what their guess is, but I'm going to specifically ask them about what you said about some nut on the output shaft and so forth and so on. So
I guess, because if I could say one more thing.
Go ahead.
I guess why, when I listened to that, I thought, you know, the truck, if it died on me tomorrow, I wouldn't be out nothing. I've got so much use out of it, but I don't generally take it anywhere but on these dirt roads. Mm-hmm. So I guess a question I would have, I hate to take up so much of your time, but if I didn't need fifth gear and it wasn't harming anything to go one, you know, usually I don't hit fourth gear, so.
Right.
It's a ranch truck. If I could just use it like that and save a dollar, or if I'm going to tear something else up, I'd like, you know, I don't want to kill it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, I can answer your question.
That's my question.
Okay. I can answer those. Number one, if there's no noise and everything else works good from reverse through fourth, I would think that driving it would be fine. And let me put it to you this way. I would drive it. Okay?
Okay.
I would drive it.
That's where I was going
now,
with
number
that,
two, on the cost associated with this, okay? If this cost you $400 then you could say to yourself, that's $10 a month or $20 a month for the next 20 months. So the question then would be, is I would say to you, Ryan, if I fix it, will you pay me $20 a month for whatever, for however long that is? And so basically you're going to rent the truck from yourself for $20 a month, $30 a month, whatever. The idea is if the rest of the truck's in good enough shape, then don't be scared of a $200 or $300 or $400 bill. Because if we have to go into the transmission, it's got to come out. So the big part of that is pulling it out and putting it back in. And I know it's a four-wheel drive, so now I got a little extra work. But once I get the top of the transmission off of it, then I'll know exactly whether it's the shifter or, and actually I probably could pull the shifter out of it when it's in the truck. But nevertheless, send me an email, mark@marksalem.com. And give me your name and your phone number, and then I'm going to call Lorenzo and Alger, and I'm going to call you back. Okay?
I sure appreciate you. Thank
okay.
you, sir.
I'm doing it because you're a cowboy, and Brent's got a gun on his hip, and I'm a little bit more worried about him than I am you.
Well, thank him for me, too, then.
All right. Yeah, I sure will. Are you familiar with the ranch he's talking about? No? Okay. We didn't give Brent a microphone. Tano, what's the name of your ranch? Are you still there?
We're on the bar 11.
Bar 11. Okay, what ranch do you work at? What's yours?
7L.
He's on 7L. And
okay. Well, maybe we'll run across each other someday.
If you do, he's a pretty good roper, too. I've seen him handle a rope. His wife hates it when he ropes his wife, but the cows don't complain. So anyway, Ryan, thank you very much. We've got another hour of this fun and frivolity. and getting into trouble. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We talked a lot about customers at the front counter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the hard part, I think.
It is. And, you know, the thing that we find is that the more information we have, the cheaper it is for the customer.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing better. If you're having a problem with a vehicle, there's nothing better than saying, hey, get in the car with me, go around the block, show the technician what's going on with the vehicle. They can diagnose it a lot faster. It's all that communication at the front. But one of the things you really ends badly is when we have customers telling us how to fix the car.
Well, and that, or their husband told them how to fix the car, or their neighbor had a car like this, and this is the problem. That's just a problem, period.
Yeah.
Intermittent problems we'll talk about on the other side of the hour. Those are different.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to educate the customer. And if they're not in the listening mode, then we aren't going to make any progress. And then I say to them, you have only one choice. Wait till it gets worse and easier to find. That's it.
Yep.
Because if nobody can duplicate it and you're not willing to work with us as we give you hints on what to do, what not to do, if you're not going to work with us, then you have only one other choice. Well, two choices. Wait till it gets worse and easier to find, or I'll just start throwing parts at it until we get it. And that's going to be kind of expensive. We're going to start with a $1,000 estimate, and then we'll go from there. So it's communication. It's like going to the doctor. We'll be back.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. The lines, three of them are available because we've got Bruce and Greg, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. This is a car show. Everybody knows we're not going to fix your car over the radio. However, about 30% of the time, we can hit the nail on the head, at least identify fuel, spark. We had a guy call in not too long ago, and he had a Ford, and every once in a while, he had the front hubs making a lot of noise. I didn't know the answer to it, but then somebody called me and said, that's a vacuum problem because we're locking the hubs with vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
And so a vacuum line's broken, which is causing that hub to turn on and off. I didn't know the answer, but enough people have my cell phone number that they can correct me when I'm wrong. And so I'm wrong a lot. Nevertheless, I'm not wrong about Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa. Since 1970, they've been around, and they've been providing expert care. Brian and Thelma own Thompson's Auto Repair, and all you have to do is meet Brian or Thelma, and you'll know why I refer people there. Not too long ago, a customer was concerned with pricing, so I had him fax me a repair order from one of my shops. In reality, I was a little bit more expensive, 1.5%, than they were. And so it's not that I'm proud of being expensive, but I said to the lady, I'm in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
So he's within 1.5% of me, and I bid it blindly with my staff. I gave it to the service writer, and I blocked out all the numbers, and we came in right underneath them. So it was on a $600 bill, 1% is like $6, so 1.5% is like 10. So nevertheless, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, they're the only shop in Mesa that I put my name next to and say that you can use them, and you can use them with all the what's the word I'm looking for?
Confidence.
Confidence. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All the confidence in the world. Main Street just east of Stapley. Main Street just east of Stapley. And Bruce, you're up first. How can I help you?
Yes, my grandson is in the Air Force in transition now from Italy to Fairbanks, Alaska. He's in Phoenix now looking to buy a truck, a big crew cab, four-wheel drive. He's obviously for that thing, for that kind of climate. And he's looking at a diesel. Would you, how do you feel about diesel as opposed to gas in Fairbanks, Alaska?
Okay, if I were moving to Fairbanks, Alaska, that's the only vehicle I'd take up there is a four-wheel drive, three-quarter ton or one ton. And I would have the Dodge with the 6.7. I don't use. I don't usually talk about Fords, but
I listen to you enough.
All right. Okay. All right. But they do have it now. Let me tell you, Ford the six liter is the biggest piece of human garbage that has ever been around. That's the 6 liter. The 6.4 wasn't much better, but the 6.7 is. So if he's a Ford guy, he buys a 6.7. And then when you talk about the Duramax on the General Motors product, that V8 6.6 liter monster they've got, there's nothing wrong with it. So he can take any one he wants. Now, change your question. Mark, do you own diesels? Yes, I do. Mark, what did you have? Well, early on I had the GM Duramax, but now my son and I and everybody else in our family has Dodges. And I'm real happy with my Dodge. And the cowboy sitting across from me right now, we were coming down from Payson, and we were going up this one hill, and there was a bunch of people that were running pretty quick. And so I think we beat them to the top of the hill, every single one of them. But nevertheless, I'm the Dodge, it'd be my choice for him.
Is that the Cummins diesel?
It is. It's a 6.7 Cummins. They had a 5.9 and a 6.7. Now, the 5.9 is akin to the 327 V8 Chevrolet motor that took over the world by storm. It started out as a 327, then they made a 307, then it went to a 350. But that small block Chevy, along with the small block Ford, the 302, those were the salt of the earth. Now, that 5.9 Cummins is just exactly that. But the newer model, I think the 6.7 came in at 2009, 10, 11. Mine is a 12, and I know it's got a 6.7 in it. But that's what I would use. That's what I would say to him. And I think with a lot of confidence, he'd be happy with those.
So you would say no to gas? You would prefer?
I would say no to gas. No.
Okay.
I would say no to gas. First of all, the maintenance is a little bit more money, but it's longer. So you can go 12,000 miles on your diesel. So if the oil change costs $200, $250, $300 with a fuel filter, then that's nothing compared to the cost associated with the gas every $3,000 to $5,000.
Well, I think his biggest problem is going to be finding he can't buy new, I don't think.
Yeah.
But, in a 3 to 5 year old unit, is probably finding one's going to be hard.
Well, and there's no question about that. Now, my 2012 Dodge is I can sell it for more money than I paid for it because that's the last year that they didn't put the diesel exhaust fluid in it.
Yeah. And is that a problem, do you think, looking for used? I mean, should he really bite the bullet and maybe just buy new?
Well, he can. He's going to spend $60,000-$70,000 for a new four-wheel drive. He's going to spend $40,000 for one that's 12 and older because it's non-DEF, and those guys that have those trucks know what they're worth.
So
gasoline, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's plenty of diesel mechanics in Fairbanks, Alaska, and Alaska.
Yeah.
There's plenty of diesels up there. So it's not like he's going to take some, Hyundai Sonata with a, turbocharged, supercharged, blown motor.
Right. I'm sure there's plenty of diesel vehicles and equipment up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so I think if he's thinking about the two of them, and I'll just change your question. I would, if I moved to Alaska, I would take a diesel with me. I without a question. Okay.
Well, he wants to buy one here because for the obvious reasons of being, used and salt free and whatever. And,
Well, and here's why he buys it here, if that's what he wants to do, is because he can go take it from the person that's selling it and take it to a garage that you trust and say, I want a used car checkover. I want to know what it needs now, tomorrow, and next week, and next month, and next year, as best as you can. That gives him some negotiation power. We had a lady the other day came in. We did a used car checkover. It needed $500 worth of immediate work. She went back to the dealership. They dropped their price, and they fixed it, everything. She brought it back to us. We checked it, and they had done all the work right. And she says that was the best $125 I've ever spent, because she said they dropped the price, plus they did $500 worth of work for me for free.
So you guys would do a checkover?
Every good shop does a used car checkover.
Okay.
Every good shop. Okay? Thanks, Bruce.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You bet. Greg, you're up next. How can we help you, Greg?
Hey, Mark. Got a 79 Magnum, little transmission issue. I'm in third gear by the time I'm 25 miles an hour. When I got the car, there was no linkage between the carburetor and the transmission. I replaced that. I still had the issue. I've adjusted it several ways, even dropping it down into low, which I thought was kind of odd. It still does the same thing. It won't keep it. The shifter won't keep it in low, and it is an aftermarket B&M shifter. What am I looking at, my friend?
Well, if you manually shift it, will it hold first gear until you shift it to second?
No, sir. That's what I find really odd. It shifts automatically.
Okay, still. So the problem's inside. Because if you manually shift it, then you're commanding it to stay in first gear. So if you say, hey, I can go first gear up to 15, I can go second gear up to 30, 35, and then I can shift fourth gear, if you would have said that to me, it would be something that's typically external and could be your kickdown linkage that you talked about or your shift linkage that you talked about. But if it quick shifts on you, then it's going to be something inside. What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Glendale.
Okay. I don't really have a transmission shop in that area that I can talk to. I'd like you to call Alger at A&S Transmissions, and he's up on Deer Valley and I-17. He'll talk to you over the phone. Alger knows more about transmission than I know about my wife of 45 years. The guy's just a genius, but he's busier than heck, and oftentimes you have to wait a month to get in. So he does mostly wholesale work, but he'll take a retail job every now and then. So I would call him and be respectful of his time. You might say, Mark Salem said that you'd talk to me for a few minutes, tell me what you think, and then you ask him. He can't possibly know what the repair is, but you can say, what's your diagnostic charge? And then go from there. Okay? Alger at A&S. Now, A&S stands for Automatic or Standards. A&S stands for Alger and Shelley, his wife. Mm-hmm. And then I thought that his company should be ASS, but he didn't think that was a good idea. And so, but I've known him. I hired that kid in 1979 for our gas station. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about him. He said to me one day, I want to take the automatic transmission out of my 65 Nova or whatever it was, and I want to put a stick in there. And I said, oh, wow. I said, you know, here's the deal, Alger. The only day you can do that is Sunday. So if your car's not off the lift on Sunday, I'm going to roll it to your house, and you're going to be unemployed. I cannot have you tie up a bay that generates a bunch of money. He says, no, I'm all ready to go. And I said, yeah, okay, well, have you got the pedal assembly? Yes. Got the cross member? Yes. You got the bell housing? Yes. You got the shifter? Yes. Okay. He started the night before, and at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was laying rubber in front of my house. That's who that kid is.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I mean, he was the transmission guy for me, and he now owns his own shop. And I, that's a true story. I have not embellished it a single bit. 9 o'clock in the morning, he's out there burning rubber in front of my house, telling me I got the manual transmission into my Nova. So he's a great kid. So anyway, Alger Stowers, A&S Transmission. Thank you, Greg. 602-508-0960. 508-0960, and I'm going to put TOT turned over to A&S. I don't get any money on this, you know that.
Yeah.
These referrals are free. I wouldn't take money if they gave them to me, but I've been around a long enough time. I feel the same way with you. I don't want your money. When I refer that central corridor area to you and Billy, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy. If I don't ever call back, but I know that in the absence of a call, you guys did a good job. So I've known your dad since the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And so do you remember when he opened his shop?
1971.
Well, now, that was not the one at 16 Osborne. Is that the Indian School one?
No, that's the one on Osborne.
Okay.
Yeah, 1971 is when he opened his first, he got into, that was a Chevron.
Okay.
And that was our first station.
Okay, 71.
71.
Okay,
because
I graduated high school in 72. And I was working at a gas station, Ken Vivian's Shell Station at Broadway and Priest from 1968 till I graduated in 1972 because I lied about my age. That was when gas was 27, 29, and 31, and we had just got the mid-grade. and we had the Bells on the Islands. You remember those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we just kind of stood around, and we washed all the windows, and we checked everything. We checked your tires. We did all that kind of stuff.
And, you know, what's really funny is when I was a kid, and, you know, we started out pulling weeds out of the planter and then sweeping the parking lot and then pumping gas. And,
yep.
And when if somebody would put $20 a gas in their car, mm-hmm. that would be like, wow. That's a lot of gas in that
car. Right.
Now it's like $20 is nothing.
Oh, that's a day.
Yeah.
Back then, the VW Beetles, they'd come in and they'd spend $3 or $2 for a full tank of gas.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this later, you and I, but picking up cigarette butts is something I did.
Yeah,
But today we don't do that. I'd say to my grandkids, go out and sweep up cigarette butts. They go, what's that? But I can tell you, working at the island at a gas station was a great place to meet chicks. We'll be back right after this. We have to turn the microphones off during the breaks because of all the talk that's going on. There's a lot of people in this room right now. It's a bunch of guys, as you can tell. This is not quite as bad as a frat party, but it's almost as bad.
Yeah.
And we're all reminiscing about the gas station days in the young days.
Because we're old and that's all we can do is
talk
about
exactly.
it now.
You got that right. You got that right. Well, speaking of old, Kurt's Automotive on I-17 in Bell. No, he's not. He's got two young bucks. Eric, and I'll remember his name in a minute, but these two young guys are master technicians, and they are really good. But so is Kurt. I-17 and Bell, he's bailed me out of a lot of, can you take a look at this car and let them know if you can fix it? And the answer is always, yes, we can. So we're handling it. So he's a Better Business Bureau Ethics Award winner. He's been open since 1987. He does domestic import and gas and diesel. And, again, they've got at least three master technicians. So Kurt's Auto Repair, I-17 and Bell Road. He's a good guy. He won't let you down. And for those of you in that I-17 corridor, he's on the northeast corner of I-17 and Bell. Tina, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning. I have a 2014 Ford Focus that has over 80,000 miles on it, somewhere under 90. But since I bought it with about 5,000 miles on it, it stutters upon takeoff.
Okay.
I did take it in for the on my very first oil change at a Ford center,
uh-huh.
and they said, oh, they just do that. Those Focuses just do that. And I did have one before that for a short period of time before somebody hit me that did the same thing. I did have it serviced at the dealer. They replaced a sensor for the sensor for the transmission. They did something with the something on the clutch. I don't remember exactly what. And they just say, oh, yeah, it sounds like you need a clutch now.
Okay, so this is a manual shift Focus?
Automatic.
Okay, it's an automatic. Okay, here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to start manually shifting it. So instead of putting it into drive, I want you to put it in low. Now, do you have a D and an S on your shifter where it says D is drive and S means standard shift select and there's a button on the side of your shifter that you can go up and down? Do you have that?
I think so. I'm not in it, but I think so.
All right, so I'm going to have you pull the shifter all the way to the bottom, all the way towards you. And then there's a lever. I think there's a button on the side of the shifter. And so when you're going to start off in first gear, and then you're going to go in, and then you're going to hit the top of the button, and it's going to shift to second gear. Now, you're going to have to shift this up and down because that's what manual's all about. The question is do you still have the problem? Question number two you have to answer is cold or hot or all the time? And if it doesn't do it, when doesn't it do it? And then the last question is can you show us? And can you demonstrate that pretty much all day long? Can you take somebody for a ride and show them what you're talking about?
Yes, unfortunately, the last time it didn't happen.
Okay,
when I tried to do that, but usually yes.
Okay, what part of town are you in? First of all, do you have a garage that you like and trust?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm in Scottsdale.
Okay, North Scottsdale or South?
South.
Okay, I would take it over to 86th Street. It's called Bell Automotive. It's like 86th and McDowell.
Okay.
And there's a big, tall guy that works there and his wife, and they're second generations. And tell him Mark Salem said that there's not a you don't have a prayer in hell of fixing this, but he thought you should drive it or let me see you, watch me drive it. That's what I want you to say. It's a nice way to say that Mark talked to me. and I don't get any money off of it, but he'll laugh. And and his father's name was Carol, and his name is Evelyn. Okay. You tell him I said that. Now, his dad really is Carol. His dad was really Carol. But you say, I'd like Evelyn Bear or Bell. So when you get there, you say, can I talk to Evelyn Bell, B-E-L-L?
Okay.
And he's going to kill me. But it doesn't make any difference because I think he'll drive it for you for free, especially if you can duplicate it. And he has the ability to get close on what it is. He's a good technician. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am. You're welcome. And we're going to TOT. I think his name is Craig.
Craig. And, yeah, it is Craig.
And his wife,
Vicky.
Vicky. And she's the dog in the yard.
Yep.
Yep. She runs it with it, and she's really good about running the staff.
Yep.
And Craig is tall and skinny, and Vicky will laugh if she comes in and asks for Evelyn Bell. She'll laugh. TOT Bell.
I take it you said a lot of people over there asking for Evelyn?
Yes. Yeah, I do. But I change the name each time.
Yeah.
Isn't your mom Carol? And they named you Evelyn? So anyway, Ann, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi. Well, you know, I've heard you before, and I told my husband about you, but I'm in the truck right now, and this is the first time I've had to tune you guys in again. And we bought a Toyota Tundra truck in 2002. It was brand new and had it for maybe 5-6 years. And then my husband got the bright idea to give it to his grandson up in Colorado. And as a result, nobody really took care of it. So we had it beat up. We had it shipped back here, and it, for what it looks like, it seems to be pretty good. But the engine light always stayed on, and we called the daughter up, and she said up in Colorado, they looked at it and said that they couldn't find anything wrong, and their emission test didn't. She passed emission.
Right, right.
So when
right.
I came, we tried to take it to emission here. Of course, you know, the engine light was on.
Yeah. Well, let me.
So I had to go back and get a. Well, anyway, long story short, we had a relay put in, and I took it back for emission again, and of course it didn't pass because I guess the thing has to cycle.
Well,
I think I didn't drive it around long enough, and I was on the internet trying to find out what I'm supposed to do. And
okay,
my God!
Stop!
Well, anyway,
Stop! Wait, yeah. Hold on! We got some questions to ask you as we go along here. After you had the work done, is the check engine light off now and has been off since it was fixed?
It's been off since it was fixed,
okay.
But when I drove around for a couple hours, took it in, it didn't.
Yeah.
It just said it didn't pass it.
Okay. Now, the drive cycle isn't a few minutes. The drive cycle, it takes two guys to go through the drive cycle. All right, he's driving, okay? Next to me is, what the heck's your name?
David.
I know that. I'm just teasing you. David's sitting next to me, and I'm driving, and he goes, you have to do 20 miles an hour for 7.5 minutes and then honk the horn. So I do that. Then he says, you got to get on the freeway, and you got to go 60 miles an hour for 3 miles. Then you got to stop, and then you got to go back to 60 miles an hour. And I do that. And then he says, you have to roll up the window, stick your head out the window, and cluck like a chicken. Then I do that. And so he tells me what to do. And then he says it has to sit all night, and we got to do this same test tomorrow. So you're not going to go through a drive cycle in 10 minutes. You're going to have to drive it a week or more. So get a temporary plate that costs you $5, $6, $7, $10. Put a temporary plate on it and then drive it as much as you can over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. If the check engine light doesn't come on, you can stop by the repair shop and say, will you check to see if the monitor has been reset? Monitor has been reset, which is the drive cycle monitor. They'll plug in and they'll go, yeah, it's been. So you're going to go through emissions, you're going to pass with flying colors, they're going to check your lights off and you're home free. But you're not going to reset the monitor in 3 or 4 hours or even 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to have to go longer. And they think I'm teasing them about going the drive cycle. With the exception of clucking out the window, what I said was true.
Right. Yeah, the drive cycles can be a real pain.
And it takes two guys because one has to talk. And then if you get on the freeway and it wants you to do 30 miles an hour for 5 miles, what are you going to do?
Right.
You have to get off the freeway and do 35 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just give it to my grandkids and let them drive it. Anyway, thank you very much, Ann. We're going to take a break right now.
All about that day.
34 minutes after the hour. 34 minutes after the hour. And sitting next to me is Dave Martin. He owns Martin's Auto Repair Service, and he's on 16th Street north of Osborne. He's a second generation. I've known his dad since the 60s and 70s. And Dave is actually the second generation of that repair shop, and just like many of the rest of us, we yep. have second generation moving on. Let's go to, first, I gotta do something really quick here. We're gonna talk about Automatic Transmission Exchange, which is in Phoenix, 40th Street in Washington. Phil's been around since 1968. He's been around since the very first Power Glides, the two-speed Power Glides, all the way to the computerized transmissions that have sensors and solenoids that shifted from first to second. So he's been here since Fred Flintstone and Barney Fife. He's worked on Fred Flintstone's automatic transmission, and he's grown. He wouldn't be in business right now if he didn't transition to the new electronics. So if you have a problem, you're in Phoenix, 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange. We call it ATE, but Phil and his staff have been around a long time, and it's a good place to go. Mary, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. Yes, I'm calling about my son-in-law's 2004 Infiniti FX35.
Okay.
And he has a problem. He had this like two summers ago where the water from the radiator goes into the bottle and okay. it doesn't go back, and so then it overheats. But it doesn't do it all the time.
Okay.
He'll drive it back and forth to work, and then all of a sudden it'll go into the bottle and not come back. And before, it was a thermostat.
Okay. Well, let me explain something to you. Let me explain how that system works, okay? When the engine gets hot, the water expands. The radiator cap will kind of let some of that pressure off, and we're going to go into the bottle, okay? At nighttime, when you park it, then as the engine cools off, it sucks the fluid out of the overflow because there's a sucking valve on the radiator cap, and it opens up, and we suck coolant back in so it's full the next morning. So hot, we expel, and a cold overnight, we draw back in to keep it full. If it has a leak anywhere in the system, it will not pull it back out of the bottle because it'll suck air before it sucks liquid. So, David, how much do you charge to pressure test a cooling system? Let me change it. To a new customer or a customer that's been with you for years?
Customer that's been with us for years, we'll just do it.
Okay. And if it's not a new customer?
It's usually right around $60.
Okay. So it's going to take some while. So what we do is we pull the cap off of it, we fill it up, then we put a pressure tester on it, so we're going to pump air into it. If it's a 15-pound cap, I usually put 16 in it. We walk away, and if we come back and it's 16, it's 16 still, mark's wrong. It probably needs a radiator cap. But if it's gone from 16 to 8, then we got to find out where the leak is at, right?
Yep, absolutely. And
so in your particular case, what needs to happen first is he needs to buy a really good radiator cap and put it on there. Let's eliminate that. That's something that's really cheap. The second thing is if he has the problem with the moving back and forth, it could be a bad one because the motor could be aspirating water. We could have a bad head gasket or we could have a combustion leak. That would prevent it from sucking it back out of the tank. So then we're going to work, our industry is going to work with your son-in-law, and we're going to teach him how at nighttime to look where the is. We give him a magic marker, and we tell him just mark it.
Right.
Where's it at night? And in the morning, it better be dropping down a little bit, a half an inch, a quarter inch, a full inch. So we're teaching him how that the overflow jug, hot, it's going to go up, and cold, it's going to go down. So what part of town does he live in?
He's in Central Phoenix, yes,
okay.
And I'm familiar with Martin, yes.
Okay, yeah, well, David's here, and I'm going to tell you, and I can speak for David. David's willing to pressurize this for your son-in-law for $8.57.
He's noticed that he loses a little coolant.
Okay,
and
that's...
he keeps filling that up.
Okay, we need to figure out where the leak's at and fix it. It could
okay.
be inside the engine or it could be outside. But for $8.57, David's going to just pressurize the system, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Harry, you're next. How can I help you?
Yeah, Mark, good talking to you. Hey, I heard earlier on your show you were talking about the graphite oil. I don't know if anybody's called in about it. Did you ever get a name on it?
No. Do you remember?
Yes. Article Graphite.
That's it.
I've got got a case of it. You still have a case of my shop.
Okay. Now, how much you want for that case?
Right along that 30-pound cylinder of R12 that I have.
How much do you want for that case of Arco Graphite?
I don't know.
Well, how many? Is there 12 in the case?
I don't know. The box is sitting in the box. It's kind of falling apart. It may be one short. I know I used it in my lawnmower, and I had bought some and put it in a Mercury Capri I had, and did real good, except the problem I found with that oil, every place that has a gasket that has oil, it will start leaking there.
Well, and when it starts leaking that graphite, it's hard to get the stain off the concrete. I mean, it's like dropping diesel. Okay, all right, I'm going to make a decision for you. You want to get rid of the Arco graphite or not?
Sure.
Okay. You send me an email, Mark.
I'll tell you what, I'll donate it to you, and you can add it to your Christmas thing.
Okay, that'd be fine. $15 a quart. And here's the deal. That back then it was $8 a quart.
Yeah,
it was $10
a
quart.
I think it was a couple bucks. I don't know.
No, that was a premium oil, and it didn't last very long. And that's anybody who was born in the 60s, 70s, and 80s remembers Arco Graphite. So this is something that goes in a museum. I'll give you $15 for one quart for my lobby. Because we have all that old stuff there.
All right.
So anyway, Mark at MarkSalem.com, $15 a quart, and it works really good in lawnmowers. Thank you, Harry.
It worked good until I saw it leaking at, you know, the gasket and everything, and part of the engine deal. And I thought, well, it seemed to run fine, so but it was a little messy.
No, we're not. We're selling it in a nostalgia focus. Okay, in a nostalgia thing. So if you have a garage, like many of my friends do, they have all kinds of stuff in there, and they like the old stuff. So a quart of Arco Graphite, you might even have an auction for it or something. But anyway, Harry, Mark at MarkSalem.com. I'll put you in touch with Harry. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone. Well, the lines are open, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Let me tell you about Larry Harker's Auto. Larry Harker's Auto is on my best car repair shops list that you can find on my website, MarkSalem.com. He's been around since 1967. Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto. And Ellen runs the front counter, and Bob runs the shop. And he's probably one of the best diagnosticians I've ever met in my life. It's kind of like waving a red cape in front of a bull. You walk in there and you say, nobody can fix this, and all of a sudden you have his full attention because he can't. Now, he's not going to do it for $8.57. He's going to charge you a diagnostic fee, but rarely does anything leave there without a firm diagnosis. So, and he does oil changes, auto emissions, brake jobs, electrical work. He does all that stuff. But when it comes to heavy-duty diagnosis, Bob is probably one of the best, and I dare say he's better than I am, and I don't lead that pack either. So Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to start with Ann. Ann, good morning.
Hi. This is my first time calling a radio show, so I'm a little nervous.
It's okay.
So I don't even know where to start with my problem or even, but basically a couple months ago I bought a 2016 Honda Odyssey minivan, and it's giving me transmission problems, and so I Googled transmission problems, and exactly what people put up on YouTube is what's happening, and I don't even know if you...
Okay, well... All right, let me answer this. You can make it happen, yes? You can make it happen?
I can't make it happen, but I can... but it does happen intermittently, okay. And the thing is, it's under warranty, and I've taken it in, and they keep repairing the sensors. And I'm like, no, and, you know, now they're saying, well, if you bring it in one more time, we'll do the transmission. But I'm thinking, putting a new transmission,
Let's recenter. Let's recenter here.
Okay.
First of all, intermittent problems are difficult for anybody. Number two, every time you go to the dealer, you have them check the transmission and make them write down your symptoms specifically, and here's why. Because if the car warranty is over in January of 2019 and the transmission fails a year later, then you have all these records that you took it in for a transmission problem and it was never fixed. So you continue every time you go in. That happened to me, and I was 2 years out of warranty, and the old Henry Brown Chevy store in Mesa called me and said, we've got records. You know that you've had this problem for a long time. I said, yeah, I have. He says, we're going to rebuild the transmission for free. We now know what it is, and we did it for free. So that's number one. That's number one. Number two, you're not going to fix your car on YouTube, because I suggest to you that you can be talking to a gynecologist who's giving you auto repair advice, and that's a bad idea. You could be talking to a veterinarian that specializes in gelding male horses, and it's a bad idea to spend a bunch of money from somebody who you've never met before, and he's telling you how to fix your car over the phone. That's a bad idea. But what part of town do you live in?
North Phoenix.
Okay. I-17 corridor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Kurtz is up there at I-17 and Bell, and Action's up there at Deer Valley and I-17. And both of those guys would, I'm sure, would be happy to take a short drive with you. You can't take them and keep them for an hour on the promise it's going to happen. You understand that. But this is an opportunity to have somebody in your car and for you to describe it to the best of your ability. And don't talk about YouTube, but you say, this is what it does. And they're going to ask you questions, and they're going to say, hey, Ann, I want you to call me after a week and tell me, is it predominantly hot and cold? Then they're going to say, Ann, I want you to pay attention to the speed. Does it happen in a speed? And you go, yeah, between 38 and 42. Okay, good.
Okay.
And when it's happening, I want you to take your left foot and gently apply the brake pedal, but keep your right foot normal. I just want you to apply the brake to enough to shine the brake lights. Does it go away? Yes, it does. Oh, okay. Yeah. So when you don't hit the brake, now, you're going down the road at 55 miles an hour. You're holding your foot steady, your right foot steady. I'm going to take your left foot and just gently apply the brakes. Not enough to slow the car down, just enough to turn on the lights. Just gentle application of the brakes, and voila, it's gone. Well, everybody knows that's a torque converter clutch. You just disabled it, now it's, and then you say, I let go, and it'll do it again. Well, it's a torque converter clutch. You just saved yourself $200 worth of diagnostics. So if you'll work with the shop and just do what they say, there's a good chance you'll save at least $100 worth of diagnostic fees as long as you become their tester. Now, there's three answers to their questions. Yes, no, I don't know. Now, the men don't, that third one, the men don't know, okay? Because they don't know what they don't know. But they'll say, oh, yeah, it happens, and they'll send us. That's like me giving you directions to my shop, and we start by going north on 17, and when you get to Flagstaff, turn around, and I'm in Tempe. So if you don't give me good stuff, and that's why I say women are the best diagnosticians.
Absolutely.
Because they know how to say, I don't know, or I can't answer your question. So I would take it to one of those two guys and have them take a ride with you. You say, not on Monday morning or Friday afternoons for obvious reasons. But any other time, you can call and say, Mark Salem said you'd take a test drive in my car, and would you please, and what time's good for you? And either one of those guys. All righty? Okay. Thank you, Ann. Thank you very much. And for her first call, she did pretty good.
Really good, yeah.
You know, a lot better.
Well, and what you said is exactly right. It's just more information saves them money. And if they answer the questions and they can help us through the diagnostic process, it's better for them and it's better for us.
And the beautiful part about it is if they'll just answer our questions, vibrations. Oh, gosh. You know, how many times do we pull? I can see that you've pulled all your hair out from vibrations.
Yeah, absolutely. and noises.
And so have I, because I'm wearing a hat, so you don't know it. But anyway, I want to talk about something just real quick, and then we're going to get to the callers.
Okay.
If you're a graduate of the Tempe High School class of 1972, or if you went in the 68 through 92 or 68 through 72 range, then you probably knew Pat Harrelson. He's a friend of mine. He's a good buddy of mine. He passed away. Now, if you're a Tempe Police Department employee, Pat was in your mounted unit and a reserve officer. And he wasn't in your mounted unit. He was in the unit, but I don't think he wore a horse. And he was in Tempe as a reserve officer for a long time, and then he transitioned to Scottsdale PD. He served 20 years in Scottsdale PD, and he was on the bike squad. Pat passed away the 17th. We're having a kind of a celebration of Pat's life tomorrow between 1 and 4 o'clock. So if you fill in any of those, you knew Pat at Tempe's Police Department, and you knew Pat at Tempe High School, Pat Harrelson. Maybe you did business with him because him and his dad owned an insurance company that did Hartford. And there's a lady here in town that called me and told me that. So if Tempe Police, Scottsdale Police, or Tempe High School, Pat Harrelson, Celebration of Life tomorrow between 1 and 4 at the Macayos Depot Cantina, which is in the north of 5th Street and west of Mill Avenue. Macayos Depot Cantina. It's a no-host bar, but there's going to be a lot of his friends there. And if you fill any of those categories, a class of 1972 Tempe High, or if you were a Tempe policeman shortly after that, or if you were a Scottsdale policeman when Pat started there, he spent 20 years and he retired, then you probably know his name. We invite you there, and for this reason. His two young boys are going to be there. They're not young boys, but they're two young men. And it's nice to tell them about a story that their dad was involved in. One of the guys called me and said, I was riding bicycles with Pat, and one day he hit one of those grates, and it pitched him off over the handlebars, you know. And he said he was bleeding from every elbow and every knee. And he got up and got back on his bike, and I said to him, are you hurt? And he goes, do I look like I'm hurt? And he said, but we went and cleaned him all up, and he put some long pants on, and he drove a car for a couple of days, and everything was fine. So he's a tough guy. Pat Harrelson is his name. Macayos Depot Cantina, Sunday from 1 to 4, no host bar. Stop by, and you would honor me and his boys, Ryan and Nick. Chris, you're up next. Chris, how can I help you?
Hello, Mark. I'm calling with a question about a 2010 DTF Cadillac.
Okay.
I got this car last year, and I'm not having any mechanical issues, except that I paid $198 to fix the turn signal, the $3 bulb, because it's buried in the headlamp assembly.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just thought that was kind of funny. But it comes back to my point. I'm asking whether I should buy the extended warranty. I don't have current mechanical problems, but one dealership told me that this car, this Northrop engine side-mounted V8, has a habit of around 70,000 miles of kind of blowing up, and it's an expensive repair. So I was at another dealership, and I talked to the service guy, and I said, I heard this thing has about blows up around 75,000 miles, and he kind of a little smile, and he said, yeah, it's true. And I said, what's the probability? Like, how many percentages are going to have the problem? Probably around 75%.
Okay. All right. We understand the issue. The answer to your question, and do you want to chime in first?
Yeah.
It's a yes or no. Does he get the aftermarket warranty or not?
No, I don't normally recommend them. There is a couple warranties out there that I will look at, and I will say that, you know what, it's worth it, depending on the cost of the warranty and depending on what they cover.
What's your monthly charge? What's your monthly charge on these aftermarket warranties, Chris?
Well, it'd be about $5,000, and I think it's about $171 a month for 2 years or something like that. So
okay. All right. Well, I'm not familiar. It is true that the older model Cadillacs with the North Star motors were big pieces of bull manure. And they were terrible. I'm not familiar that your 10 is included in that. And I don't know that it is. But your 10 is only 8 years old. I have never said to buy an aftermarket warranty, take that $171 and put it in the bank. And when you get to need something, you'll have the money. I tell people, my customers, you give me the 171, you get me the contract, because the contract is going to be one of two. It's going to be all-inclusive or all-exclusive, and either one of those is an arrow in your heart. Let me describe. It says we only cover the following parts, and I can assure you that those parts is the bottom of the list of what needs to be done.
Right.
Then the other one says we cover everything except these. That's what it calls an exclusionary and an exclusionary. And both of those are written for them. I have never met a human being in 39 years that got the better end of an aftermarket warranty. Never. Dave?
And I want to say one other thing, too. You know, if you do buy that aftermarket warranty, we had a customer that came to us and they had an engine problem. They had to show them every oil change that they did. And if they missed one of them, which they did, they said nope. They didn't do the warranty.
And I'll tell you something else. We had a lady the other day that had a radiator that was bad, and she had radiator coverage. They wanted her transmission service records because they say, well, the transmission fluid runs through the radiator. I said, I agree, but it's not leaking in that circuit. This has a blown seam. It's leaking coolant, not transmission. They voided her warranty because she couldn't provide a transmission service. That's the kind of Gil, put the beep button on. That's the kind of idiots that run that, and they drive us crazy, and they want to whittle us down on the parts. They want to whittle us down on the labor. They're going to charge you sales tax, Freon, coolant, oil, shop supplies, environmental charges, and they're only going to pay you where they come up with some stupid number that they say, well, this is the average for Phoenix. In Salem, you're at $500, and the average is only $127.50. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I don't let my parents, I don't let my staff, I don't let them. I advise my staff, and they all know that. There isn't, you are not going to find a mechanic that, that says aftermarket warranties are good. But if you're going to buy one, and if you want one, I'd go to Desert Federal Credit Union, and I'll tell you why. The tie usually goes to the owner of the car. And because they sell so much of that, they have a little bit of power. So Desert Federal is the only place I would buy one, but I still think that you should put the money in your pocket.
And I agree with that. And another thing the consumer doesn't realize is when they go to put the warranty on their car payment, they not only pay for the warranty, but they're paying interest on top of that warranty.
And so, it's real lucrative for them.
Yeah, right. So, and I say the same thing to my customers. I go, you can take that money and put it in the bank, and chances are, you're not going to go through it.
It's a roll of the dice. No one's ever got more than they paid for the policy. Nobody. I had a motorhome with a water pump that went bad, and they said the water pump's not covered. And we fought about it, and you know what they were talking about? The water pump and the motor. I had the water pump in the shower. And then they go, oh, that's not covered. I said, it says water pump right in there. Oh, that's the one on the engine. Well, you just got through saying you weren't going to cover the one on the engine. What the heck? Which water pump is that? And so, you know, using bad words is something I want to avoid. But thank you. Now, Gil, would you do me a favor? Would you tell Mark to give me his cell phone number? When I get off the air, I will call him personally. He's the last one. I just want to talk real quick about Pat Harrelson's Celebration of Life. It's going to be at the Depot Cantina, the Macayo's Depot Cantina in Tempe. It's north of 5th Street, west of Mill Avenue. So if you went to Tempe High 68 through 72, you probably knew Pat Harrelson. If you were in the Tempe Police Department, you probably knew him because he was on your reserve and he also worked in the mounted unit. And if you were in Scottsdale Police Department, you had to know Pat because he was there for 20 years. He recently retired, and then of course he passed away on the 17th. He's a friend of mine. And so I would like you to show up so we can talk to his sons and celebrate Pat's life. That's at the Macayo's Depot Cantina. My name's Mark Salem. David Martin is from Martin's Auto. He's on 16th Street north of Osborne. And thank you for spending your time with me, Mark at MarkSalem.com.